Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavatitamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We're in the second chapter, the second adhyaya, and the first volley, the first section. We did the Paranchikani, verse 1, and we're starting verse 2. Parachakaman anuyanti bhalaha. Paranchakaman anuyanti balaha te mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham te mrityoryanti vitatasya pasham atadhira amritatvam viritva atadhira amritatvam viritva dhruvam adhruveshvihana pratyante Dhruvam adhruvesh shviha napratyante parachaha kaman anuyanti balaha te mrityoho yanti vitatasya pasham ata dhiraha amritatvam piritva dhruvam adhruveshu iha napratyante. Verse 1 was about the dhiraha. If you remember verse 1, it says, Paranchikani vyatranat swayam buhu tasmat parang pashyati na antaratman. It says, Bhagawan, the one who is self-evident, destroyed paranchikani, the outgoing senses, Paranchikani vyatranat swayam buhu. Tasmat, therefore, parang pashyati na antaratman. Therefore, one sees only outside, the external world, not the inner self, that atman atmanam. So na antaratman chandas. So one is unable to see with the sense organs oneself. Bhagavan didn't make the sense organs that way, so he didn't do the best job he could have. It's kind of the tongue-in-cheek. Kaschit dhiraha. Therefore, you can only see out, you can't see into the atma, to your own self. Then, kaschit dhiraha. Some one wise person, a viveki, some one person who has viveka, Pratyak Atmanam Aikshat. That one, Avrita Chakshuhu, being one whose eyes are withdrawn from looking outward, eyes mean the sense organs are withdrawn from looking outward, that one sees the Pratyak Atman, that innermost self. And such a one sees that innermost self, then he says, Amritatvam Ichan. That one, desiring immortality, amritatvam ichan, desiring immortality, avritta chakshuhu, having turned the eyes away, having brought that withdrawn the sense organs, that person aikshat saw and see, pratyag saw the inner self, kaschit dhiraha pratyagatmanam aikshat, avritta chakshuhu, amritatvam ichan. So that's the verse we did last week, but now he says, Parachaha Kaman Anuyanti Balaha. The Balas, Bala means the children. But Shankara, for children, he says, Balaha Alpapragnaha. Those ones who have inadequate knowledge. Alpa means small, little bit of pragna. They don't have that wisdom, or that viveka has not come yet. So the development of the intellect of the buddhi is likened to a child. because there's no discrimination, that viveka vairagya hasn't taken place yet. So he says, such children, balaha, parachaha kaman and anuyanti. Anuyanti means they go after. They go after parachaha kaman, those desires which are external, which can be objectified by sense perception. Those children, or those ones who do not yet have viveka, they go after these external desires. Then he says, mrityoho yanti vitatasya pasham. Pasham means they going after these desires, kaman, these objects of desire that are external to sense perception. Ye yanti, they go pasham, they fall under the bondage, the ropes of mrityu, Lord mrityu, of death. So mrityoho pasham, mrityoho vitatasya pasham, te yanti pasham, mrityoho vitatasya pasham. These children, these balaha, they go to the ropes, the bondages of mrityu, of Lord mrityu, of death, who is everywhere. There's no place where you can hide. Within time and space, within the creation, death is everywhere. There's no place where you can hide to avoid the bondage of death, the pasha, the noose of death. So these people who are seeking their fulfillment or their happiness externally through their sense organs, these people continually go to death. Atha, therefore, diraha, the wise person, amritatvam viditva, that dira, the one who has turned inward, using actually the pramana, the one who has turned inward, amritatvam viditva, having known amritatvam, the immortality, that which is free from death, dhruvam dhruveshu, that immortality which is dhruvam, which itself is changeless, dhruveshu, amidst all of that is changing, that which is changeless. Then he says, iha na pratyanti. He doesn't desire for anything here. He has no desire for anything here, because everything here is bound by change, and so bound by death. So I'm just going to look at the Bhasha here and share a little bit of that with you. He says, parachaha means bahi, outside. Gatan eva kaman kamya vishyan anuyanti anugachanti balaha alpapragnaha te nakarena mrityoho avidya kama karma samudayasya yanti gachanti vitatasya vistinasya sarvataha vyaptasya pasham pashate badyate yenitam pasham dehendriyadi samyoga viyoga lakshanam. There's one thing that just to make note here. One thing what Shankara says for mrityoho, for death, avidya kama karma samudayasya. They go to the pasha, they go to the bonds of death, which is what, caused by what? Avidya, ignorance, self-ignorance, which brings about kama, desire, which brings about karma. So often Swamiji, you hear Swamiji saying this, avidya, kama, karma. This group, avidya, which leads one to karma, which brings about desire, because of which you have desire for something which is external to yourself, and because of that you have karma. These kama and karma are just effects of avidya. Often we call that, what we call that technically is shobhana adhyasa. Because of avidya, because of self-ignorance. Put my earphone back in here. Because of self-ignorance, there's a superimposed adhyasa. I superimpose shobhana adhyasa, that which is pleasing to me, that which I seek, the ananda that I seek, that pleasure or that joy, I superimpose that on objects that light up for me. I want this. I have some sort of vasana or samskara that makes one object light up. So there's many objects in the world, countless objects in the world, but for you only certain ones light up. By light up, I mean you see that object and you see yourself in that object. You don't think about it that way, but that's actually what's happening. I want that. I want that ananda. I want that fullness. So that projection of myself onto the object then causes me to go after it. So that's the shobhana adhyasa. You can think of shobhana adhyasa as the projection of my own being, of my own nature, of my own ananda, onto something in the world that for one reason or another I've had some good experience with it, makes me think that the ananda or the fullness that I'm seeking belongs to that object. That's the shobhana adhyasa. What happens is that I've projected myself out onto an object and then I have to run after it to get myself back. We don't know that. We don't know that we're just, that we projected myself and then I'm running to get myself back. We don't know that because we don't know myself. I am myself, but the mind, even though has myself for its very being, is always looking outward, enjoying myself as the adhishtana, taking myself completely for granted. It's like the pot taking the clay for granted completely, is then looking out into the world through the sense of the five sense organs, looking for fulfillment or for that self, that sense of well-being. But I'm looking for a sense of well-being, a sense of being myself from objects that don't have it. I already am that. And now I'm looking through time and space to achieve that. And so I'm actually, everything I'm doing is misdirected. I'm going in completely the opposite direction of what I need to, of what I need to recognize. And so that's the dilemma that we find ourselves in. And so one dhiraha, one person who has some viveka, through Bhagavan's grace, some viveka, has recognized initially that everything in this world is finite and it's not able to, by its very nature, give me the fullness or the wholeness I'm seeking. And that leads to a vairagya. This isn't what I want. But then I become a mumukshu, somebody who's desirous for liberation because I myself recognize that I can't achieve it through the means of knowledge I have available to me. And so Bhagavan had to provide something for all of the jivas to fulfill that need so that there is a means of knowledge too, that there is such a thing as a means of knowledge. Not just my sense organs, but a means of knowledge for knowing myself. The sense organs are not capable to do that. So that mumukshutvam is when I throw up my hands to Bhagavan, so there must be some way to fulfill myself, and I don't see that existing in the world. Because Bhagavan didn't give the power of self-knowledge, of being able to turn inward, to the sense organs. So And Swamiji said, I remember a story he told. Bhagavan didn't give power to the sense organs to turn inward because, first of all, most people don't need the sense organs to do that. There's no mumukshutvam. There's no mumukshutvam for the sense organs to have to be turning inward. And when the sense organ, when a person gains viveka, then we can have a pramana, the Vedanta pramana, in order to make me recognize myself that has been there all along. And then having recognized myself, again, I don't need the pramana. Because I'm always there, I'm always here, I've always been here, there's never a time that I haven't been here. And so, once it's just a matter of self-recognition, you know, that is not going to take place through the sense organs, because the sense organs aren't designed to do that. I need to recognize myself through a teaching methodology that allows me to differentiate my being from all of the changing experiences. All of the changing experiences are illumined by myself. And so until the mind is able, it's not the self doesn't have a problem. The mind has to be able to differentiate itself from me. It needs to recognize that everything about my experience, including itself, the buddhi also, are continually coming into being, going out of being. That means it has no independent reality at all. So it has no independent reality at all. And that fact is something that's what we call aparoksha, or direct, immediate, immediately present to be seen. It's something that just simply has to be pointed out. It's a fact that has to be pointed out. When it's pointed out, the mind recognizes it. It recognizes the truth of itself. It also recognizes the stability of itself, which is the self. So there's something in every experience you have, there's something which is dhruvam, which is stable, and there's everything else which is not stable, adhruva. So that one wise person recognizes what is dhruvam, what is amritam, which is not subject to change, amidst everything that is subject to change. This is what we call that relationship mithya with the adhishtana. Adhishtana means I am there changelessly present to all of the things that have no being of their own, because they come into being and go out of being. That's the recognition. That's the recognition that has to take place. So here when he says the paranchaha kaman anuyanti balaha, these children means until this viveka has taken place, they are simply responding to their experience. The Atma is always there. We can say the Atma, yourself, is always there. We don't think of it really as an experience, even though it's self-evident. You don't think of it as an experience because you're always there. So you only think of the thoughts that are coming in your mind, or the vrittis, the perceptions that are coming in your mind, or the sense perceptions, or all of the different experiences that come and go. Those are the experiences for you. Right? And so I'm born that way. It's beginningless avidya. And so until I start to question, you know, and kind of realize that I find myself in a situation that is impossible for me to become whole and complete in, and that doesn't feel right because I've experienced myself as whole and complete, but it's only been fleeting. When I do experience, I know that's me. And then I become a seeker of that. And then I realize that what I'm seeking is not something that I can gain from the world. But until that arises, I'm still a child. I'm still just someone who's responding to all of the input that's coming in through the sense perception. And when that's the case, I become just naturally, as I naturally become somebody who is bound by mrityu, bound by the bondage of mrityu, that bondage of death, which only really has to do with an erroneous, false, ignorance-born identification with those things that I'm experiencing. There's a I'll get to that next time. Those things that I'm experiencing. So it's only for the dhīra, the one who has that viveka, and that vairagya that comes from it, and then the mumukshutvam, that allows that person to know the amṛtatvam, that which is dhruvam, that which is the adhiṣṭhāna, that which is changeless in all of your experience. And that can be known because that mumukshutvam attracts that pramana, that means of knowledge that is necessary, you know, for you to recognize yourself. It's a means of knowledge that Bhagavan that exists in the universe, but it's not stuck on your body. Your five sense organs are part of your body, right? They exist in your body. But the Veda Pramana, the Upanishads, don't exist as part of the body. It's a pramana that has to be given to you, that you have to make use of, and that comes your way when that mumukshutvam is there. And when that is there, then that amṛtatvam, which is really your own nature, which is dhruvam, that which is absolutely changeless in all experience, that becomes what we call aproksha or sakshat. They say it becomes sakshat, it means it becomes directly, immediately recognizable to me, because yourself, yourself is not away from you, it is you. And one thing we did in the meditation, you know, when we do this often, just relaxing the body, being with your experiences, then we say, just be yourself. You know, relax into yourself, notice yourself, be present to yourself. Now just be yourself. And let the buddhi be gently turned toward you, and then there's a slight shift. You just turn toward yourself, recognize yourself, so the buddhi is resting in you, as its gentle focus in you, and then you just be yourself, the one who is lighting up the buddhi. So there's a gentle little shift there, and then you recognize who you are. That's what's happening there. You recognize your own nature, because you've turned away from the sensory perception. Turned away does not mean getting rid of it. You've disidentified with it. So you've objectified it. And now so once you've objectified it, then you're no longer that. So now you can turn toward yourself, allowing those things just to be as they are, but your focus is on your own being. And then just make that gentle shift, just to be yourself. And then notice, okay, this is me. This is how I am. This is what I am like. And then just noticing that, I was mentioning in the meditation, you can just do a little inventory on how you are with all of the people in your life and with all of the situations in your current life, how you find yourself. And imagine, when it's not the case, imagine what it is like, how you would be with those people if you were just yourself. If you weren't responding to the world or responding to others from some emotional or mental state or some complex in the mind or some anger or some emotional state. If you're not responding from that standpoint, which is often the case because there's no viveka between my being and what happens to be going on in my mind. If there's no viveka, then I'm naturally just responding to the world from whatever state of mind happens to be there or whatever knowledge that I happen to have. That's where I'm responding. But what if you're responding to the world from your own being, just who you are, who you actually are, Because you're not actually your emotional states. You're not actually your complexes. Those are, you can respond to those also from your own self. And that just kind of totally changes the way you are in the world. It's a practice, because it's not something that automatically happens. It happens with self-knowledge and with living with your knowledge and with that nishtha commitment to your knowledge. And then what happens is that you're relating to the world from your own self, from your own knowledge, from your own nature, which is sakshat. Sakshat means I'm self-evident to myself. Now, another way to think of this sakshat, when we use this word sakshat, or it's, we could use aparoksha, but aparoksha is more for the atma. So if you just say sakshat, we are normally, as ajnanis, as the balaha, as the children, we are sakshat to ourselves, right? But the self that we're sakshat to is the jiva, means the ahankara that takes itself to be the body, mind, sense organs. So I am this body, mind, sense organs. I am very present to my body, mind, sense organs, but the condition of the body, mind, sense organs, you know, because I'm identified, the me is identified with that, I'm going to be responding not just from myself, but from myself through the lens of the body, mind, sense organs. So the body, mind, sense organs are what is actually their swabhava, their nature, their affect, is what is meeting the world. But if self-knowledge is there, then the buddhi is responding to all experience, whether it be the experience of the body, or the experience of the mind, or the experience of the sense organs, or the experience of the complexes, or the experience, the sensory experiences that I'm having, the buddhi is responding not from the objectified experience, but it itself is resting in me. So I become the self, and everything else gains the stature and the status of what it actually is. It's an internal or external experience. And so, whether the internal experience is getting, is held by me, and the external experience is held by me. And so, such a person who has attained that moksha, that amritatvam, that samdhiraha, being the dhruvam, the amritatvam, the dhruvam, the self, being that self, amidst all adhruva, all of the things that are changing. So when we say that, all of the things that are changing, you have to include the external world and the internal. It means the emotional world, the thought life, the imaginal life. That's all adhruva. Those things are continually changing. So having known the amritatvam, that dhiraha, those people, those wise people, those vivekis, na pratyante iha, they don't desire anything here in the adhruva world, because it's all mitya. It's something which does not itself innately have any ananda or any fullness or anything really to offer me that isn't already here. That's the thing to understand. I'm looking, the Ajnani, the Bala, is looking for the world to offer me something that is already here. And so I'm continually going through this circuitous route to get my happiness. And so here, even if you take this for these dhiraha as the mumukshu, can be the mumukshu or the jnani, the viveki who has realized this, or the viveki who just has the viveka and the vairagya, realizes that I can't get what I want from here, you know, and seeks moksha, or the jnani who has recognized my own swarupa as being the ananda that I projected onto the world, that one simply doesn't have any desire I would say like this, Swamiji will make this distinction, doesn't have any binding desire for anything in the world. So that binding desire is what the problem is. Binding desire means I need this in order to be happy. A non-binding desire, every jnani has that. We have that too, jnani or agnani. You have a binding desire, I need this to be happy. But the jnani would have desires, but non-binding desires. I need this, I want this, but if I don't get it, that's fine. It's not binding. It's not my ananda, my happiness. It's not at stake. And so the bala has to become adhira. The bala, the one who doesn't have viveka, through Bhagavan's grace, gains that viveka. We often say that viveka, it comes from punya, from lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of dharma, that gives the mind kind of the space, the inner space and the inner shanti, the inner, it's called apekshita, it's not a permanent shanti, free from time, which is only the atma, but it's a natural shanti born of dharma. When you have, say you're a dharmashila, means you're somebody who's naturally inclined to perform dharma. Always chooses dharma over adharma. There's a lot of inner space and inner relative shanti there for that person. And when their inner space is there, then there's some room for viveka to arise. Otherwise, there's no room. I'm just looking outside to make myself happy. So that dhira, someone dhira, means of course of lifetimes of dharma. They have the punya that has given them enough shanti to become a mumukshu. That's why the mumukshus are always so highly praised. Because to be a mumukshu, there has to be dharma. There has to be some antakarana shuddhi there, and that's considered, you know, punya, Ishwar's, and Ishwar anugraha. That's how they talk about it. So then a question comes up. Yad vijnanat na kinchit anyat pratyante brahmanaha katam tad adigama. Adigamaha iti uchite. It says, it asks a question again. So he says, tad vijnanat, from the knowledge of what? Na kinchit anyat pratyante brahmanaha. A brahmana, these wise people, don't desire the brahmanaha, the dhiraha, these wise people, pratyante, they ne pratyante, they don't desire anything else. What is that knowledge exactly? Katam tad adhigamaha iti uchate. How does that happen? Here they use brahmanaha. Brahmanaha, you can take it as somebody who's born into the caste system, or, you know, to varna, is born as a brahmana. But what is a brahmana really is one whose mind is predominantly sattva. Predominantly sattva means it's a dharmic mind. It's a person who is committed to dharma and has natural shanti in the mind. That's a brahmana. A kshatriya would be somebody who has a lot rajas, but secondarily is the sattva. So they can have a lot of extroversion and a lot of skill and leadership and all of that, but they can have a lot of energy, a lot of rajas, where a brahmana is more contemplative by nature. And so these brahmanas, these vivekis, these sannyasis, or these mumukshus, how is it that by knowing what that knowing, what is it? Knowing knowledge of what? They don't desire anything else. How does that come about? Iti uchite, thus he says in this second verse, this next verse. Verse number 3, so repeat after me. Yena rupam rasam gantam. Yena rupam rasam gantam. Shabdan sparshans chamaitunan. Shabdan sparshans chamaitunan. Ete naiva vijanati. Ete naiva vijanati. Kimatra parisishyate. Kimatra parisishyate. Etad vaitata. Yena rupam rasam gantam shabdan sparshan cha maitunan. Etena eva vijanati kim atra parisishyate. Etad vaitat. This etad vaitat, this indeed is that, that is going to come after several verses as we go on. So he's starting to teach, you know, to answer this question that Shankara introduces. Yena, that by which rupam, form, rasam, taste, gandham, smell, shabdan, sounds, sparshan, touch, and maitunan. So these are the first ones, are the five sense objects. And then, and maitunan. Maituna is actually sexual pleasure. And probably they're using maituna, well, from the Bhasha, they're using maituna, which is an extreme, sexual pleasure is considered an extreme ananda that Bhagawan gave. You know, it gives its own little type of samadhi, maituna. But that, you have to think about that as the sukha vrittis that are given. So you have the five sense objects, and then also all of the different types of sukha vrittis that can be born of the sensory experiences. So maituna is upalakshana for all of those, all of the sukta, all of the experiences of pleasures that are born from my experiences in the world. So he says, yena rupam rasam gandham shabdan sparshan cha maitunan. Etena eva vijanati kimatra parishishyate. He says, by which all of these are known, vijanati. It's by this alone, okay? By this alone, by that one alone, by whom all of these things are known. He says, kim atra, what here, parishishyate, is left. That one that is left, that is the one because of whom all of these are known. What is left? Because he can say, kim atra, parishishyate, What here is left out? Etad vaitat, that indeed is this atma. So here, there's a viveka taking place between, by objectifying all the five sense objects, and then take maituna, the pleasure gained through the sexual pleasure, take that to mean, if you do upalakshana, and to mean all of the different types of sukha-vrittis, and that would include dukkha-vrittis also, they'll bring their opposites in, all of the different type of vrittis that are also experiential. The five sense objects are experiential through the sense organs, and then maituna, or all of the different types of sukha and emotional vrittis, are something that are internal experiences, but all of them are known. That's the thing to understand. All of the emotional experiences are known, and all of the sensory experiences are known. So anything that can be objectified, that you can know, right, the question is, Who's knowing it? It's being known. Who is knowing it? Because it's not just the physical, it's not just the physical world that is known and objectified. The physical body also is known, is objectified. The sense organs are known, are objectified. The mind is known, the emotions are known, the moods are known, the buddhi itself is known. Basically, any given vritti, and a vritti means thought modification, is itself the experience. So all experiences that I have, another way of saying that, all vrittis that I have, right, whether they be internal or external, all of those are known, right? So I can even say, okay, all of my emotions are known, all of my thoughts are known, all of my knowledge is known, all of my ignorance is known, I know this, I don't know that. Time is known, space is known, all of these things are known. The question is, who's the knower? Because even the things that I've taken to be myself and are really, and allow me to know, I realize they're just instruments of knowledge. Like, for instance, your five sense organs. They're instruments of knowledge. Because I have eyes, I can see form. Because I have ears, I can hear sound, etc. But these instruments are known to me. Every emotion I have is known to me. Every thought I have in the buddhi, every knowledge I have, every moment of clarity I have, that is known to me. So, he says, the question is, by whom? The question is, first it says, the one by whom all of these things are known, right? It's by that one alone. Kim atra parisishate. By that one alone, they are known. Kim atra parishishate, etad vaitat. What here remains, it is that it the what the one the what here remains, that one that indeed that this indeed is that. Having negated, what's happening is having negated all of the sense objects and all of the experiences, I am left. But what is the one that is left, right? The one that is left is me. But what's happened is, obviously, let's look at it this way. Obviously, I am the one who knows all of these things. But upon analysis, I eliminate and make into objects all of the things that I had taken to be me. So they have to all be given over to the creation. They have to be given over to Ishvara. When I do that, I still remain as the knower. I still remain as the one because, let me put it this way, I still remain as the one because of whom all of these things are known. It's just that I've now been differentiated from all of the things that I had taken to be myself. So he says, that what remains here, the one that remains, right? Differentiated from all of the things that have been objectified, that's who I am. Just looking at something in the Bhasha here. 1 second. Okay, I'm going to stop here. This is a nice basha. I need to read it more carefully, and I'd like to kind of go through it with a class, but I'll do it next week. This and the next verse. Well, I have to look at it a little more before I do it in the way I'd like to do it. So let's just have that be enough for the night. Let's do our prayer. Swasti prajabhyah paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahishaha go brahmanebhyah shubhamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yam kshobarahitah Brahmanasantu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukha bhag bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amritangamaya Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.